Morning. Today's daf in Yuma Nun Ches. We are Nun Zayin Amud Beis. We are at the two dots. Ire Dama Parla Soch Dam Hasir. We're mixing the bloods. So far, how many Hazas have we done? So we've done a set with the Par and Seir in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We've done another set of the Hazas of the Dam and the Seir opposite the Parochis while standing in the Heichal. And now there's going to be a third set that's going to be done on the Mizbech HaPanimi. Also described as the Mizbech HaZahav, the Mizbech that's inside the Heichal. And it's going to hit the four corners. A question that is not super clear, and we're going to see the Machlokas in just a moment, and that is, do the bloods get mixed together for the Mizbech, or do the bloods not get mixed together for the Mizbech? And so that is open for open for debate. And the Tanaim, or late Tanaim, early Amoraim, depending on where you want to put them, so they debate this very issue. In terms of whether the bloods were mixed, we're going to be discussing over the course of this morning the dam, this third set of dam that's sprinkled, and we're going to be spending most of today, all of today, really discussing the exact procedure in terms of how this third set of hazars are going to be done on the Mizbech Hazav. Mizbech Hazav. So just again, we're going to be spending a lot of time around the Mizbech Hazav today. So if you have pictures, it's fantastic. It really helps you visualize and see the entire scene. A Mizbech Hazav is not a big structure. In fact, it's a total of two amas high. Okay, so you're standing over the Mizbech Hazav, right? The Mizbech that's outside in the Azara. So that is, right, from floor to basically the top landing, it's nine amas in the air, right? The Kronos had another amma. So nine amas in the air, that's 18 feet high, approximately. So you're looking at a really big structure. It's towering over you. You need a ramp in order to get to the top. When it comes to the Mizbech Hazav, that's in the Heichal. So it's a significantly smaller structure. As we already discussed, the average height of a person is three amas tall. So you are standing over the Mizbech Hazav. And remember, we wanted our Kohanim to be larger in general. Remember how we wanted the fingers to be bigger? So anyway, so you're towering over the Mizbech Hazav. So and it's two amas high, and it's only one by one in terms of a square. You could really do the applications of the blood, and you don't have to walk around the entire Mizbech Hazav. So stay tuned, because that's also going to be subject for a debate that we're going to see later on in terms of whether or not the Kohen Gadol actually walked around the Mizbech Hazav, or can he just stand in one place and do the applications while standing in one place? Okay, another machlokas that we're going to be seeing later this morning. Okay, let's begin today's daf. We are at the two dots. Ira dama parla soch dama sir tanan kamanda amre marvin lekranos. Okay, so when you read our Mishnah, it's clear, right? The Mishnah has, after doing the first set in the Kosher Kedoshim, the second set against the Parochas, the third set, the bloods are going to get mixed together, and obviously our Mishnah is taking a stand on what we're about to learn is in fact a point of controversy in terms of whether the blood should get mixed together. And our Mishnah is of the position that they should get mixed together. Deitmar, the Gemara now quotes a machlokas. Now we're going to be quoting Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonasan. They're normally presented to us as Tanayim, so it's a little bit strange because our Gemara over here introduces them with the words Deitmar. Okay, so you have enough sensitivity to the language of the Gemara, so you know that Idmar usually introduces something that was said over by the Amoraim, not the Tanaim. The Rishonim are already bothered by this. Tosus Rishonim, right here, is bothered by this, that we're using the language of Idmar. Okay, without going further on this point, but it's something to be sensitive to. So, Deidmar, Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Yonasan, Charamar Ma'arvim, V'Charamar Ein Ma'arvim. So, it's a machlokas between the Tanaim, whether or not the bloods get mixed together and the bloods do not get mixed together. Now, where does the Torah stand on this? Meaning, the Torah's been so far a really clear textbook in terms of the procedure of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So, where does the Torah stand on this? So, from the Torah itself, so this is one of those points where the Torah is not perfectly clear, and there is a bit of ambiguity in the pasuk itself, and so it lends itself to this machlokas. So, the Gemara now wants to suggest that this machlokas is predicated on the following. So tis time to Rav Yoshia Damar Marvin. Now, if we're going to assign, in other words, we know the participants of the debate, but we don't know who says what. So the Gemara now is going to do its classic assignment. I'm telling you that Rav Yoshia is of the opinion that you mixed. Why? So the Gemara says like this, because we know that according to Rabbi Yoshia, even if the Torah does not say the word yachtav, we assume yachtav. Give me an example. So Rashi does. Rashi over here gives the following example. So the pasuk says that you're not allowed to curse your mother and your father. Let me go in the right order of the Torah. So like a person ish asher yikalel. Sorry, ish asher yikalel es aviv es imo. So and this is right, aside from intuitively being a strong prohibition. This is a tchayv misa. Right, a person who curses his father and his mother. Now it says es aviv ve'es imo. So one could have anticipated or thought that in order to violate the sisser of cursing one's father and mother, so you would have to curse the two of them. So es and tamalomer aviv kilel imo kilel. So if you read on in the pasuk, the Torah says it actually repeats: his father is cursed, his mother is cursed. And why is the Torah repeat? So, Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. So, according to the Shita Rabbi Yoshia, it's because without that repetition, here's what I would have thought. That it is an heinous act to go ahead and curse one's father and one's mother. However, one is not going to be liable for the death penalty until you curse both. You have to curse both in order to be subject to the Chiyuv Misus Bidei Adam. That's what I would have thought. So the Torah then goes ahead and repeats itself to tell me no, even individually. So what does that mean according to Rabbi Yoshia? It means according to Rabbi Yoshia, the default setting of the Torah is that the Torah, when giving us more than one, in this case two, mother, father and mother, so the default setting is that the that they're yachtav, that you have to curse both in order to be subject to the liability. Now it happens to be that the Torah therefore repeats itself to tell me that they're not yachtav, but the default setting is yachtav. And Rabbi Yonasan over there says no. There is no assumption that it's yachtav, even if I curse them individually, so then it would be chayv. So then, according to Rav Yonasan, why does the Torah then have to repeat? Good, we don't have to go any further. Meaning, but what we see over there is that Rav Yoshia and Rav Yonasan are arguing on this very premise of what is the default setting when the Torah gives us multiple bloods. So over here, when the Torah says that you're going to take the dam par and dam seir, and it doesn't say yachtav, but according to Rabbi Yoshia, the default setting is together, meaning that you have to mix them together. Mm-hmm. So that's the Gemara's suggestion. It's a wonderful suggestion. And the Gemara says, nah, maybe not. So I feel Tim Rabbi Yonasan Ishani Hachadichsiv Achas. So the Gemara says, look, I know there's that machlokus over there regarding Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan. If the Torah did not say Yachtav, do we assume Yachtav? But over here, it could very well be that even Rabbi Yonasan would agree over here that they have to get mixed together because the Torah does use the word achas. Now, achas and yachtav are not the same, but nevertheless, it could be that achas over here means that they have to be joined. Okay, could be. So the Gemara is making an attempt to try to suggest that even though we think we know why they're arguing, the Gemara says maybe not necessarily. Tanya Delokish Nuyan. And then the Gemara says, look, I'm going to quote a Braisa. And the answer that we just gave, it's not a valid answer. Meaning, it's what we thought. The Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan are arguing on this very premise of what the default setting of the Torah is, whether the Torah assumes Yachtav or the Torah does not assume Yachtav. It's very clear. V'lakach midama par, midama seir. So you're going to be taking from the dama par and from the dam seir. Shiyum Raven, Div Rabbi Yoshia. And Rabbi Yoshia says, good. So what is my default setting? My default setting is that they have to be yachtav, they have to be together. The Torah didn't say the word yachtav. Yeah, Rabbi Yoshia says, I know, but that's my default setting of the Torah. And Rabbi Yonasan Omar, as we are on the top of Nun Ches Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yonasan Omar means umazeh bifnei atzmo, umazeh bifnei atzmo. No, you sprinkle each one individually by the Mizbeach HaPanimi. Okay, so it's now clear, meaning we now know that Rabbi Yoshia is taking the position they have to be mingled, you have to mix them together, and Rabbi Yonasan says they don't have to be mixed together, and it is what we thought it was, meaning, and it's predicated on whether or not you assume it has to be yachtav. The Braisa continues, the Braisa goes a little bit back and forth between the Tanaim. So Amrlo Rabbi Yoshia v'alok var namar achas. So Rabbi Yoshia says, yeah, you know, the Torah says achas. You take it as one. So Amrlo Rabbi Yonasan v'lo kfar namar midama par u'midama seir. And Rabbi Yonasan's counter argument is, no, I'm also reading the same psukim. It says midama par u'midama seir. You take them individually. So imkein lama namar achas. So then why say achas? So I'm lomar lcha achas v'lo shtayim midama par achas v'lo shtayim midama seir. No, it's one application from the par, not two. It's one application from the seer, not two. Okay, on each one of the corners, but it's only one application. Okay, a little bit more back and forth. Tanya Idach, we have but one more braisa on this particular topic. So over here, the braisa, it's an anonymous braisa, but in a moment we're going to identify the author. We already know who it is, but it's an anonymous braisa, and the braisa says that they have to be mixed together for the third set of sprinkling. So the Torah says the word achas, which means that they have to be mixed together. Ustamak Rabbi Yoshia. Now that we quoted the Braisa, now we can identify who the author of the Braisa is. It is Rabbi Yoshia. Okay. So the bloods have to be mixed together for this third application, third set of hazaos on the Mizbech HaPanimi. Now we know it's a machlokas. Machlokas at Tanaim. Machlokas between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yoshia says they have to be mixed together. That's our Stam Mishnah. And Rabbi Yonasan says no, they're going to be applied individually, but not sprinkled. And the Gemara does not conclude on this matter, meaning that is the end of the Gemara's discussion. If I had to guess, which I'm doing right now, so being that Rabbi Yoshia represents our Stam Mishnah's viewpoint, so that's certainly what it seems like in terms of where the Gemara is leaning in terms of the halacha. Nasan es amale berekan. Now, when mixing the bloods together, so what did the Mishnah describe? So, very simple, like a good mixing. When I say good mixing, what do? So here's my two cups, and one has the dam par, and the other one has the dam seer, so I pour one into the other. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back into the empty cup, and that will allow for a good mixing, okay, an even distribution. The Gemara starts off with a discussion that seems to be disconnected with our Mishnah. And what we're going to do is come back and use our Mishnah to try to make a point. Following question was asked from Rav Chista, and that is Yiniach Mizrak Besoch Mizrak V'Kibel Bo Es Damo Mahu Min Bemin Chotzes O En Chotzes. Okay, so let's say you want to do Kabbalah Sadam. So you're holding a kli, and you're going to do Kabbalah Sadam while you're holding the kli. Now the kli that you're holding is a kli shareis, which means that your hand has to be on the kli shareis. Now, obviously, your hand cannot be touching the blood, meaning the whole point of having a bowl is so that you collect the blood. Okay. But still, the basic idea is that you're going to be handling directly the bowl, which directly is going to be catching the blood. What if I put not one cup, but I put a cup within a cup? Right. A lot of people do this for Kiddush, right? At Shul, the two plastic cups. Okay. But that's for a different reason. It has nothing to do with what we're discussing over here, but all right, I put one kli sharis inside of another kli sharis. Is that going to be a chatzitza? Has now something interfered with you directly handling the bowl that actually has the blood? It's a simple question. And over here, the question is predicated on the fact that the outer kli is also kli sharis, meaning it's what in halacha is referred to as min bemino. It's the same item. So maybe it's almost like reinforced, but it's the same material. And maybe it's not going to be chatzitza. So that's the question on the table. Again, seemingly has nothing to do with what we're discussing right now. Why does it come up over here? You'll see. So I'm related to Nisua. So he says, I know the answer. And that is nothing. That's Amalei B'Reikon because of our Mishnah. Now, right now, the Gemara thinks that it has a pshat in the Mishnah. Now, what I offered to you already was the Gemara's final understanding of the Mishnah. But right now, the Gemara is going to try on the following pshat, and that is, my love, Hoshik Mizrak, Malay Lesoch Mizrak Reikon. Well, doesn't the Mishnah mean the following? I'm going to pour the blood from one bowl into the other bowl. Now I have an empty bowl. Now what will I do? I'll just simply put one bowl into the other bowl. I'll put the full bowl into the empty bowl. That's what the Gemara right now thinks is a pshat in the Mishnah. So, and if that's right, so it proves our point, meaning it's not going to be a chatzitz. So the Gemara says, lo, ira mizrak malay lesoch mizrak reikan. No, that's not what the Mishnah meant. The Mishnah meant what I described. Okay, again, I was confident because this is exactly how the Gemara lands. In other words, you're pouring from one bowl into the other, and then you're pouring back into the empty one. Why? In order to mix it well. So, hatan le resha. And the Gemara says exactly for that reason, in order so that it be mixed well. Tashma, so okay, fine. As long as we're here asking the question of a bowl within a bowl, whether that serves as a chatzitza, Min bemino is a chatzitzer. Not tashma. The Gemara says, okay, come in here. Haya omen agabe kliya agabe regal chaver apostle. So we have the Mishnah and Zvachim. The Mishnah and Zvachim towards the beginning, second parak, I believe. The Mishnah and Zvachim says that you have to be standing on the floor itself, meaning you're a Kohen, you're doing the avodah in the base of Mikdash. You cannot be wearing shoes, and your feet have to directly be touching the floor. If you're standing on a kli, that's no good. If you're standing on another Kohen's foot, that's also no good. So the Gemara says, now, standing on another Kohen's foot, isn't that min bimino? So the Gemara says, shani regal de lo masi mevatale. Gemara says, yeah, it's true. It is min bimino. But it's somebody else's foot. Like, you can't be mevatal somebody else's foot. In other words, this foot belongs to another human being. So even though that certainly would be a chatzitza, but that doesn't speak to our case over here, all right, you can't compare somebody else's foot to just simply another kli. Okay. Okay, what the Gemara now is going to do is just spend just another minute on this discussion, but really turn on what the issue is. Up until now, when you put one ball into another ball, we were discussing it from the aspect of chatzitza. Is it a chatzitza or is it not a chatzitza? Okay, now what the Gemara wants to know is the following. Let's leave chatzitza out of the discussion and just, derech sheres, look, you're doing service. Right, this is a vod in the base of Mikdash. So you're going to do service, which is a manner in which is regal, complimentary, quote-unquote normal. If I take a bowl and I put it inside of another bowl, is that derech sheres? Is that something which is which is complimentary? Is it normal? So tashma, detana debe Rabbi Shmuel, es kol kli hashares, asher yishar su bam bekodesh, shnei kelim v'sher sachas. Okay, so a drasha. And in terms of establishing what norms are, norms could be, you know, whatever society dictates. Unfortunately, that's the case these days. But the, obviously for our norms, in other words, in terms of establishing what is Sheiris Lagabe, the base of Mikdash, so we turn to Pesukim in the Torah, and that establishes what are considered norms. And by virtue of the fact that the Torah describes, Sheiris and uses the word Kalim in the plural, so therefore, it is "quote unquote" normal to use a double kli, and that's considered derech sheres. Okay, so ends that topic of the double kli. Again, it really doesn't have anything to do with our Mishnah, but for a moment, the Gemara thought it had something to do with our Mishnah because of a pshat that the Gemara tried on the Mishnah. But it ended up that we rejected that pshat. But okay, we got to discuss a double kli in today's daf. Okay, Baminei Rami Bar Chama Merav Chista. Okay, follow-up question from Rami Bar Chama to Rav Chisda, second question of the day, and that is, Hiniach siv b'soch ha-mizrach v'kibal bo es adam. Mahu. Let's say now, I'm going to call it a palm frond, but it's really not a good translation. What we're describing over here, right, I don't know how to label it, something that comes from the palm tree, but it's absorbent in nature. Okay, and you're putting it inside the kli. And now you put the blood in the kli, that has this like inner lining of this absorbent material. It's organic, but it is absorbent. So ma'o min b'she'in omino chotzei, so in a chotzei, so is that considered min b'she'in omino, is that going to be chatzitza, or kevin de mechalcha lo chayitz, odim lo shna. On the other hand, it's porous, and so therefore the blood eventually is going to make it to the kli. It just may take a moment. In other words, before it navigates its way through this porous material. So, is it a chatzitza or is it not a chatzitza? Okay. In other words, this is, it's a funny question because previously we were talking about a kli within another kli, that's min bimino. And good, you understand now, that may not be a chatzitza. That's what we've been entertaining now for the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Over here, it's min b'she'eino mino, right? Don't we normally say that that's a chatzitza? Isn't that the textbook definition of a chatzitza? So as the Gemara itself pointed out, I'm just highlighting the Gemara's point over here. Yeah, that's true if it weren't a porous material. But being that maybe this is a porous material, so therefore it allows for communication between the blood and the actual walls of the kli. Amrle Tanina. So he says, okay, so what do I have over here to make a point is going to be a Mishnah in Parah. So the Mishnahs in Parah are found in Seder Taharis. We don't go through them as part of the Daf Yomi cycle. We don't go through any of the Mishnahs in Taharos, with notable exception to Nida, the only Masechta that we cover in the Daf Yomi. So that's a lot of Torah that's not covered by the Daf Yomi. Okay, the So the sixth perek of Para, right? I was learning Mishnayos and Para just to prepare the daf. That's good. So the sixth perek of Para, describes exactly how to collect the water for the mechatas. Mechatas, as we know, is the solution of Mayim Chaim, has to be spring water, and the ashes of the burnt Para Aduma. So you mix them together. So in terms of the collection, the Mayim Chaim, so you have to collect it directly into a kli. Right? Rashi over here cites the pasuk, right? Hamakash b'shokas v'ayah safog l'socho, Mayim shebesfog. That's Rashi quoting the beginning of the Mishnah. So, Mayim shebesfog, I'm skipping right to the middle of that Rashi. Mayim shebesfog, I'm sorry, shebesfog psulim, dechaim el keli be'inan. When collecting the water from the spring into the kli, so it has to be a direct collection, meaning it has to go directly from the spring, from the natural spring, into the kli. And if it doesn't make that direct connection, so it's not going to be good. The Mishnah part describes the following: you have some sort of spongy material on the bottom of the kli, so that now when you're going from the spring water into the kli, so some of it's now collected in the spongy material. So as the Mishnah itself points out, so that water in the spongy material now is not considered as if it's captured in a kli, and therefore it doesn't qualify for the Mayim Chaim. And so therefore what I have to do now is I'm going to basically have to siphon off all the water with exclusion to the water that's in the sponge. The Mishnah goes on to describe over there, again, I looked at the Mishnayos. So the Mishnah goes on to describe that if I were to touch the sponge and extract any of the liquid in the sponge, so then the whole thing's disqualified. It sounds like from the Mishnah, again, I didn't dive too deeply into it, but it sounds like from the Mishnah, even the smallest amount extracted from the sponge will disqualify all the other water, even though it sounds like you can make an argument for Bittul. I'm just, again, just a brief description of the Mishnayos over there. So we're interested only in one point, and that is Amrle Tanina. So we're going to look now back at the Gemara, three lines on the bottom. Zole v'holech ashe magil esfog. So how am I now siphoning off the water? So what I do is the following. I have a kli. It has the spring water in it. The problem is it's got that sponge on the bottom, and all that water in the sponge is no good. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pour it all the other water, obviously into another kli. And I'm going to stop right where the water gets to the top of the sponge. That's what we'll do. And again, you got to make sure not to touch the sponge at all, because then you're going to be extracting water from the sponge. You don't want to do that. And that is how you could siphon off the water and collect the kosher water. So what comes out is the following. So the liquid that's in the sponge is no good. Obviously, all the surrounding liquid is going to be fine. I wasn't the sponge a barrier between the water and the interior of the kli, and it's clear from the Mishnah that it's not considered a barrier. So you see over here that when talking about a sponge in water, it is not a chatzitza. It is still considered that all the water that went into the kli is considered as if it made contact with the kli, and the sponge is not going to be a chatzitza. Now, we're using that Mishnah to make our case over here. Now, obviously, there are two points that are different. One is that we're talking about blood. The Mishnah over there in Parah is obviously talking about water. Blood is obviously has more viscosity than that of water. Two is that the Mishnah over there is talking about a sponge. We're talking about some sort of material that comes off the palm tree. Even if I'm trying to argue, I don't fully see it myself, but even if we're trying to argue that it's a porous material, but it's not going to be as porous as a sponge, so there really are two differences. The Gemara is going to highlight one of the two differences. So the Gemara says, Shani Mai de Klisha. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know, you really can't compare blood and water. Water is thin, blood is thick. So it's not a real good comparison. Ike de Amre, Hachi Pashile, Bidam Kasha Bekomets Pasol. The Gemara says, you know what? In the second version, it's a good comparison. Wonderful comparison. In fact, we'll conclude that, the spongy material at the bottom of the Klisharis is not going to be a Chatzitza. Much like the sponge in the kli for the paraduma is not going to be considered a chatzitza. And the only thing that we'll say for sure is if we try to do this by comets, it's not going to work. Rashi describes over here, we just went over this the other day, that when doing the kemitz of the kohen now is going to be taking the comets from the mincha and he has to put it into a second Kli Sharis. That's the Mekadesh of the Kometz. And now, that Kometz has to go into the Kli Sharis, making contact with the interior wall of the Kli Sharis. If there's any material over there, even if it's porous, that's going to serve as a Chatzitza. Now, over there, pretty obvious why. When it comes to the Kometz, that's a solid, it's not a liquid. Okay, that will be a Chatzitza. So basically, in the second version, liquid and a porous material will not be a chatzitza. Solid, even though it's a porous material, would be a chatzitza. Okay, the second version is pretty intuitive. Okay, we are finished with the Amud Aleph. We turn to the Amud Beis. Okay, so really on the Amud Aleph, in terms of what is relevant to Yuma, we only really discussed one topic, and that is that the bloods have to get mixed together. Right, everything else that was discussed on the Amud Aleph served as a tangent from the discussion. Okay. Fine. Amud Beis. We start with the Mishnah. So, V'yatza el ha-mizbeach asher lifnei Hashem. Okay, and he's going to go out to the mizbeach that is lifnei Hashem. So that mizbeach hazav. So that's the mizbeach hazav. Meaning the Mishnah over here is just making sure that we are clear on the fact that after the Kohen Gadol has done the hazah on the paroches, even though the Torah says the word V'yatza, consider, right? If you're in the Heichal and the Torah's instructions are, okay, now go out. What we all would have thought, at least, I can only speak for me, but, you know, I think it's pretty clear. What we would have thought is that go out means leave the Heichal. The Torah says go to the Mizbeach. Yeah, right? There are two Mizbechos, one that's inside the Heichal, and of course the one that's out in the Azara. Could have easily assumed that the Vayatza means to go out to the outer Mizbeach. That's what you could have thought. So the Gemara says no. V'yatza mizbeach asher lifnei Hashem. That's referring to the mizbeach hazahav. And so that means to say that even though the Torah uses the word yitziah, still, it just simply means move away from the paroches. But you're still in the heichal. So then what's the yitziah coming to teach me? So stay tuned. We're going to see it together. So zeh mizbeach hazahav, hizchal mechatei v'yored. Now the Kohen Gadol is going to be mechate. Now that's an application of blood. And Rashi over here points out, why does the Mishnah use the word mechate? Why is that a reference to the application? So Rashi says, because the word mechate itself always means a yurida, meaning to go down, right? Right. When a person is a chote, so he now is, he's going down in kedushin, tahara. So mechate over here, there's no negative connotation in this context. Mechate just simply means that the direction that the Kohen's going to be going in terms of making that application in each of the corners is a downward direction. That's why the Mishnah uses the word mechate. Explains Rashi. Me'echenu maskal. Now, which corner is he going to be starting from? Now, if we have a good orientation right now of where we are, so the Kohen Gadol was just standing right opposite the paroches, and now he's to the west of the Mizbeach. So now what he's going to be doing is that he's going to head now eastbound in order to do the blood applications on the four corners of the Mizbeach. Which corner is he starting with? Says the Mishnah, Me'echenu maskal mikerem mizrachit tzvonis. So he's going to be starting on the northeast. Tzvonis maravis, northwest. Maravis dromis, southwest, and dromis mizrachis. And he's going to be finishing up in the southeast. Okay. Now, that obviously is a little bit strange, meaning that what he's really doing now is he's walking past the Mizbeach. Makom shu maskal b'chatzos ha-mizbeach ha-chitzon, misham ha-yagomer ha-mizbeach ha-panimis. And you know, by the way, if we're just going to do a side-by-side comparison of the applications of blood in the inner Mizbeach versus the outer Mizbeach, you know, in the outer Mizbeach, we start in the southeast. Meaning when dealing with the standard chatas, so you're starting in the southeast. Over here, you're finishing in the southeast, in the Mizbeach ha-panimi. Just, the Gemara is just simply comparing and contrasting what the hazaos look like in the inner Mizbeach versus the outer Mizbeach. Rabbi Lazar Omer, bimkomaya omed umechate. Now, Rabbi Lazar fundamentally disagrees with the Tanakama over the following. According to the Tanakama, there's a sivuv. He's going around the Mizbeach Hazav. Again, there's not a lot of steps involved over here. The Mizbeach Hazav is really small. Two amas high. One by one ama. A single step will get him from one corner to the next corner. Okay, but according to the Tanakama, he's encircling the Mizbeach. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, no need. Rabbi Eliezer says you could just stand in one place and just reach over. In other words, when to go from one corner to the other corner is one amma, you know what the measurement of an amma is. It's your arm. It's not even your whole arm. It's just from the elbow to the tip of your finger. So you can easily just stand in one place, one corner, and just do an application in each one of the corners. And even going along the along the hypotenuse, it's not that long. Okay? It's another it's 1.4, right? If I got my math right. So bimkoma ya omenu mechatev al kulan hayanose malamata limala. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, so what direction are we going? In a downward direction? So Rabbi Eliezer says no. And all of them, you're gonna go milamata lemala. You're gonna go down upwards. Chutz mizusha isalafanav shayinose milamala lemata. With the notable exception to the one that you're directly in front of, where there you're gonna be going in a downward direction. Rashi over here spends a good amount of time taking into consideration why, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're going in an upward motion as opposed to a downward motion. Because if you're reaching over and you're going in a downward motion, so the chances are is that you're going to get blood on your on the big day kahuna. And remember, they're loved ones, so it's going to be really noticeable. And you want to try to avoid getting blood on the beged. I'm sure it's nearly impossible. Or again, I'm just probably projecting. But basically, what you want to do is you want to be in a position where you're going to be able to do the application, not get blood on the beged. Rashi describes that's why on the corners that is reaching across, that's why it's an upward motion, not a downward motion. That he's going to be, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it sounds like he's standing opposite one particular corner. That's what it sounds like. Okay. He's a al tirao shel mizbech sheva pamim. And then what he's going to do is that he's going to do an application on the tiharo shel mizbeach. Now that is an adjective that we're not used to hearing. What does that mean? The tiharo shel mizbeach. Stay tuned. But come back tomorrow. Right? Tomorrow the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what the tiharo shel mizbeach is, and that application is going to be done 7 times. So we are now finished with all the applications. We have now done the applications, the hazos and the kodesh kodashim against the paroches. Now on the mizbeach hazahav. And now, what do you do with all the leftover blood? Next part of the Mishnah. So, Shayare Dama Yeshofech Yisod Ma'arav Yishol Mizbeach Achitzon. So it's going to be poured on the base of the Mizbeach Achitzon, meaning the blood is going to be taken out of the Heichal into the Azara to the Mizbeach Achitzon, and there you're going to go to the west of the Mizbeach Achitzon. V'shol Mizbeach Achitzon Yeshofech Yisod Drami. Now, if you have a standard chatas, so there, it's going to be poured on the southern side of the base. Okay, again, come back tomorrow and we're going to go over exactly what we mean by the western side, the southern side. We'll give a better picture, a better description of the pouring of the shirayim. Elu ve'elu mitarvim be'ama v'yotz l'nachal kadron. Okay, now, as long as we're finishing up with the blood over here, so the Mishnah gives us really the epilogue of the blood. Like, well, what now happens? So after it's poured onto the Yisod HaMizbech. Yisod HaMizbech is made up of stone and earth. So now what? So now what happens is that there's a canal running through the Azara, and eventually it drains out into the canal. That's the Amma. And then it goes out to Nachal Kidron, it goes out to the Kidron Valley. Now, what happens to the blood at this point in time? Well, and I'm giving away a little bit of tomorrow's daf. The mitzvah's been done, okay. And really, fundamentally, once the mitzvah's done, there's no issue of misappropriation. There's no mi'ila. The mitzvah's been accomplished. However, what the chachamim didn't want is people to get comfortable with the idea of, hey, I'm using the blood of the chatas hapnimius. So therefore, what the chachamim instructed, is that any farmer who's going to be taking the blood, and the farmers would be using it for its nutrients, meaning they would be using it as fertilization. So any farmer is going to take the blood, he's got to pay for it. And that's what the Mishnah means at the very end. The Mishnah says, v'nimkarim leganonim lezavel, sold to the farmers, so that they could use it as fertilizer, umo alan bahen. Mo'alan over here is not the classic Me'ilah where if I misappropriate, I'm violating Me'ilah min HaTorah. You're not violating Me'ilah min HaTorah. What it just means over here is that the Chachamim demanded that any farmer who's going to make usage of it is got to pay for it before he makes usage of it. Again, just not to give that impression that you're using kachim in order to be mezabel. It's not kachim because again the mitzvah's been done, but still the farmers are gonna have to pay for it. Okay, Tana Rabbana. Okay, for the remainder of today's daf, so more details regarding the procedure in which we're doing the hazos on the mizbeach hazahav. So we start with a braisa. So why does the Torah say the word Vayatza? Right, I foreshadowed the Gemara's question over here back in the Mishnah. Right, the word Yitzia. You're not exiting the Heichal, you're staying in the Heichal. So Tamatam Alamar, Amar Av Nechem Lefisha, Masina Bepar HaBalakal Mitzvah, Shekoin Omid Chutzim Mizbech, Umazel HaParoches, Vishash Umazel, Yachol Avzeh, Kein Tam Alamar, Vayatzal Mizbech, Heichen Haya, Lefnim Min HaMizbech. Comes to tell me the following. Now, the part in the Seer of Yom Kippur are not the only times that the Kohen's in the Heichal and sprinkling. There's going to be another occasion, notably over here in this Braisa, we're using the example of a Parah Baal Kol HaMitzvos, meaning the Parah Helm Davar. So if the Jewish people were to have followed an erroneous ruling of the Beis Din, and it has to be a specific type of an Avera, that's Chayiv Chatas. So under those circumstances, so now you're going to be bringing a special par. It's not going to be the standard Chatas, it's going to be Par Helm Davar Shel Tzibur. Where the Torah's instructions are, this is a Chatas HaPnimius, you take the blood, and you go into the Heichal and you sprinkle in the direction of the Parochis. But here, where does the Kohen stand? So the Kohen stands in the Heichal, but to the, right, I'm just getting my bearings, but to the east of the Mizbeach, meaning he's not going to be in the interior between the Mizbeach and the Parochis. He's going to be standing to the east of the Mizbeach, and he's sprinkling in the direction of the Parochis. Ah. So now, when it comes to the par and seir of Yom Kippur, when it comes to... No, the Parochis is west of the Mizbeach, correct. But for the... No. Not for Par Helm Davar. Meaning for the Par and Seir of Yom Kippur, as the Gemara is about to prove that you're correct, but not for Par Helm Davar. For Par Helm Davar is going to be to the east. So now what the Gemara is telling us, what the Brice is teaching us, is contrast that with the Par and the Seir of Yom Kippur. When it comes to the Par and Seir of Yom Kippur, so there the Kohen is going to be situated between the Mizbeach and the Parochas. How do I know that? Because the Torah says the words V'yatza, meaning that this is a restricted area. Under normal circumstances, when I say normal over here, it's not normal, meaning there are not many times where the Kohen is going to be in the Heichal altogether. But under normal circumstances, with the Par Helm Davar Shel Tzibur, so the Kohen's not going to be in the restricted area. The Kohen's going to be to the east of the Mizbeach. By virtue of the fact that the Torah says Vayatza as it relates to the Par and Seir of Yom Kippur, it means that the Kohen Gadol was in this restricted area, and now after doing the Hazaos against the Paroches, now he's going to be exiting the restricted area. That's Vayatza. Okay. All right. I understand, but... Right. It's a subtle difference, but it's a difference. And the Torah's usage of the word Yitzia tells me that this is generally speaking its own area. Correct. In other words, he would be somewhere in between the Shulchan and the Menorah, correct, because they are further westbound. Yeah, right? Right? Good. I just lost my spot. Tanya Idach. The Gemara is going to quote another Braisa. A second Braisa over here is going to basically make the same point. Here in the Braisa, we're doing it in the reverse, but it's going to be the same point. By Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is going to be standing with the blood of the Par and the Seer, and lifnim in a Mizbeach interior. meaning further westbound of the Mizbeach. Umazel aparochus b'shashu mazel yachol af zeh kain. So I might have thought that other times that the Kohen's in the Heichal with other dam, notably again chatos panimios. So I might have thought the same time. Alamer Mizbeach Ketoros hasamim lefnei Hashem asher ba'ol moed. And from the pasuk we see no. Now how do we see it from the pasuk? Because it says what's between the Mizbeach and the Aron? Nothing. Meaning, and not even the Kohen. So Mizbeach lifnei Hashem ve'in Kohen lifnei Hashem. The only thing that is between the Mizbeach and the Aron is just that, just the Mizbeach, but not the Kohen. Ha'ketzad omid chutz l'mizbeach u'mazeh, which means that again for other chatos panimios. So the Kohen's going to be standing to the east of the Mizbeach and sprinkling in the direction of the Parochas. And only for the part in the seer is the Kohen Gadol going to be now in this, what is normally a restricted area, meaning the area between the Mizbeach and the Parochas. Good. Two braises basically making the very same point. Hischo mechate v'yare tanu rabbanan. Gemara quotes the braise now in terms of the application. So where does he start from? Mikeren Mizrach is Dromis. So over here in this braisa, we're going to record two opinions. So the first opinion is that he's going to be starting in the southeast. And Dromis Maravis, now he's going to go to the southwest. Maravis Tzfonis, northwest Tzfonis Mizrachis, northeast Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That is Shitas Rabbi Akiva. What direction are we talking now? Clockwise. Okay, according to Rabbi Akiva, starting in the southeast and heading clockwise to eventually end up in the northeast. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer Mikaren Mizrach Tzfonis. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you're starting in the northeast, Tzfonis Maravis, and then you're going to go to the northwest, Maravis Dromis and Dromis Mizrachis. Okay, so here, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, there are two differences. One, starting point is going to be in the northeast. And then number two is going to be direction, not clockwise, but counterclockwise. Okay. So now, Malkum Shereb Yosei Aglili Maskel, Sham Rabbi Akiva Posek. Malkum Shereb Akiva Maskel, Sham Rabbi Yosei Aglili Posek. So the starting point of each is going to be the ending point of the other. Good. We could have figured that out on our own. But again, the Bryce over here wants to be as clear as possible in terms of giving us proper orientation. Now, Dekuli Amma Mio Bahu Karen Depaga Bereisha Lo Avid. Now, here, even though there's a debate in terms of where your starting point is, whether it's the southeast or whether it's the northeast, here's what's clear. You're not starting on the west side. Now, why is that strange? Because where was the Kohen Gadol up until this point in time? He was on the west side. So why not start on the west side? So my taima, that's exactly the Gemara's question. So Amar Shmuel da Amar Krav, Yatzal Mizbech, Adin Afik Mikulim Mizbech. Because again, we go back to that word Yitzia. He's going to be exiting. So how do you exit without exiting? So what it means is that you exit the area. Meaning that basically what we're going to do is that we're going to draw an imaginary line from the Mizbeach, from the east side of the Mizbeach. Basically, that's going to cover now that entire interior area, westbound all the way up into the Paroches. And now we're going to look at that as an area. And when the Torah says V'yatsa, what the Torah wants the Kohen Gadol to do now is to exit that area. Hence, he has to go to the east side of the Mizbeach. Ola Rabbi Akiva, Nakiv Derech Yamin. So the Gemara says, okay, now, according to Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva has him going clockwise. Now, what's our general flight pattern? So we know, we do it all the time, and that is counterclockwise. We want to go counterclockwise. We don't want to go clockwise. Now, why? Why do we go counterclockwise, right? I know it's a funny way to think about it, but it's good. It's a good way to think about it, right? You're dancing at a simcha, okay? So what's the normal pattern? Pattern is counterclockwise, okay? So, right? And I know it's not a proof, but just a good way to think about it. So why counterclockwise? Because that first turn, when you're going into the circle, the first turn you're going to do is you're going to make a right-hand turn. Now, granted, by the way, that it just means that you're going to be turning left for the rest of the, for as long as stamina will take you. But in other words, but you want to make that right turn and call pinasha tapona an opponent el yamin, right? That's a rule which we're going to see in just a moment. So over here, so ula Rabbi Akiva. So now the question really begs on Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, you know, normally we go counterclockwise. Normally we want that first turn to be a right hand turn. And over here, what are you doing by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? on the Mizbech HaZahav, you're going now clockwise? That's strange. Ula Rebbe Akiva Nakiv Derech Yamin. So Lema B'Derami Bar Cheskel Kamifligi. So the Gemara says, okay. And maybe the argument between Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Yosef Galili is that they're arguing over this very principle. First, the Gemara establishes the principle. Amar Rami Bar Cheskel. Rami Bar Cheskel says the following. Yamsha Asa Shlomo. So the Yamsha Shlomo, right, comes up a number of times throughout Chas. It's an immense mikvah, right? It was 300 amas in circumference, right? We spent a lot of time talking about the relationship between circumference and diameter, right? It was 100 in diameter, 300 in circumference, right? 3 to 1, right? That's the ratio between diameter and circumference. Now, again, we know a little bit more scientifically. It's not exactly that. All right, back in Erevin, right? Somewhere there in the beginning, your Gimel, your Dalet. No, it was your Dalet, right? It was 3.14 is pi. Okay, that was my mnemonic to help me remember. So it was Daf Yudal and Erevin. Okay, good. So it's not exactly 3 to 1. Anyway, it's an enormous mikvah. So Yamsha Shlomo. We're not interested in circumference diameter today. We're interested in another aspect, which is the following. Omed al Shnemasar Bakar. So it is actually resting on 12 statues. The statues happen to look like cows. Now, making statues of cows, I know. I know. I'm not prepared for the question. Don't ask me. I don't know the answer. Okay, anyway, so it's resting on 12 statues, each one of them looking like a cow. Now, so you're going to take our 12 statues and you're having the mikvah rest on them. So, shlosha ponim tzvona. So now, let's go around the mikvah. So we're starting in the north, shlosha ponim yama. And then what we're going to do is we're going to head west and shlosha ponim negba, and then we're going to go south with shlosha ponim mizracha, and then we're going to go east. Okay, and everyone saw what just happened over there? We went counterclockwise. So, v'hayam aleim alamala v'chol achareim besa. Okay, halamata shekol pina shatapona lo yehi ela derech yamin. So, lemizrach mar islay, sorry, derech yamin. Lemizrach mar islay derami barichesko, mar lesa derami barichesko. Okay, good. So, you're going to go counterclockwise because that first turn is going to be a right-hand turn. And now that's the rule of Rami Bar Yecheskel. And what the Gemara now wants to suggest is that maybe the machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosef Galili is just a question of whether I subscribe to Rami Bar Yecheskel or I don't subscribe to Rami Bar Yecheskel. The Gemara deflects. Flop. The Gemara says no. The Kulam islu to Rami Bar Yecheskel. Really, they all agree to Rami Bar Yecheskel v'hachaba kamiflugi. So if that's true, so then how can Rabbi Akiva be going clockwise? It's a simple question. It really needs an answer. So Mar Savin is Mar Sava Yalfinan Pnimichutz, Mar Sava Loyalfinan Pnimichutz. So it could very well be the following. Look, when dealing with anything that is outside, meaning the Mizbech HaChitzona and the Yamsho Shlomo, so we're going to go counterclockwise. But here, we're in the Heichal. Maybe, right, the operating rules within the Heichal, it's almost like a different entity altogether. It's a different location, right? The rules are, you know, I don't want to be too hyperbolic, but like the rules are upside down over here in the Heichal. Okay, we're in a different area altogether. So the Gemara says, okay, Rabbi Akiva nihid lo yalef pnim mechutz ibay hachi navid ibay hachi navid. So for Rabbi Akiva, look, okay, I understand that we have a rule that you got to turn right. And I understand that in general you want to go counterclockwise. And it's true in the Mizbech HaChitzon, and it's true by the Yamsha Shlomo. And it's true throughout Halacha. And you want to tell me that you're in the Heichal, and in the Heichal it's a different area. Okay, but we don't have a counter rule, meaning there's no rule that says that you must go clockwise. So basically, if everything is equal, and even if the rule doesn't apply in the Heichal, but okay, but go counterclockwise. That's what we normally do anyway. Meaning, what's compelling Rabbi Akiva to say that we got to go clockwise and not counterclockwise? So the Gemara gives an argument. We'll do one today. We'll do another one tomorrow. So Amlecha Rabbi Akiva midina ba'hu keren depaga bereisha ba'hu avid bereisha da'amarei shlakish ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos. So the argument for Rabbi Akiva goes like this. Look, which one should he have done first? Well, the first one that he came into contact with. Meaning we have a rule. Ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos. Don't pass over a mitzvah. And now imagine the Kohen Gadol is he's now headed eastbound from where he was stationed right in front of the paroches, and he's passing a corner. without having doing the application. Now we know why he passes it, because the Torah says to pass it. But he did pass it. So so he passed it because that's what the Torah says. But he did pass it. So basically, now that he's on the east side of the Mizbeach, so he'll do the first application there where he is. But the reason why he's going clockwise is because now he's going to be heading back to the one that he passed. Meaning normally the halacha dictates that he should be going counterclockwise. But over here clockwise, because since he passed over the corner, and according to Rabbi Akiva, remember, he passed over the the southeast corner. Right, he passed over, thank you. He passed over the southwest corner. And now he's in the southeast. So now, since he passed over that southwest corner, so now he does the southeast, because that's where he is now, and he goes back to the southwest. And now that he's heading that trajectory, now he's going to be ending up going clockwise. That's one argument the Gemara provides on behalf of Rabbi Akiva, why he's not going counterclockwise. Okay. Huh? Correct. Meaning, if he landed in the northeast first, so then the one he passed would have him be going counterclockwise. Correct. No. When going from the parochas to the mizbeach, yeah. I'd say no, but I'm not sure. I'm really it'd just be my intuition, however good that may be. Okay, let's finish a daf. There's another answer coming up. We'll start with that second answer tomorrow. Meanwhile, let's quickly review. The Amud Aleph of today's daf today brought down the mixing of the bloods before sprinkling on the mizbeach hazav. Are the bloods mixed? Yes or no? Answer machlokas. Machlokas between Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonasan. What is it predicated on? What's the default setting of the Torah? Does the Torah assume when two items are listed, they must be together? Or does the Torah have to say beferish yachdav? That's a standard machloket, a classic machloket between Rav Yoshia and Rav Yonasan. The rest of the Amud Aleph of today's daf went off on a tangent. Min b'mino, is that chotzeitz, not chotzeitz? I put a kli sharis inside another kli sharis. Is that now a chatzitza, yes or no? The Gemara thought our Mishnah is evidence. Our Mishnah is not evidence. Is it considered derech sheris if I use a double kli? The Gemara ends up, on that point, the Gemara says yes. It's considered derech sheris, it's normal. What if I put some sort of porous material and the interior of the kli. Is that going to be chatzitza? The Gemara has two versions of how to end that conclusion. One is that blood is very thick, and therefore it would be a chatzitza. And the other one is that no, blood is a liquid, just like water, and therefore it won't be a chatzitza. The Mishnah and Para would seem to indicate that that which is in the sponge is not going to be good, but the surrounding water, the one that finds its way to the walls of the kli, that would be fine. Okay. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, the bulk of today's daf, really, is now the exact procedure of how the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing the application on the Mizbeach HaZahav. So we know that he's in the four corners, but from that point going forward, there's a lot of issues that are open for debate. The first one that we saw in the Mishnah is he circling around the Mizbeach HaZahav, or is he standing in one location and doing the application while standing in one location? Machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. After doing the applications on the four corners, what's the direction in which he's going around the Mizbeach HaZav? Well, the Mishnah doesn't discuss it. The Mishnah does give us a flight pattern, but as we saw in the Gemara, that also is open to a debate between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili. After doing some sprinkling on the four corners, then there's going to be seven Hazavos that are done al Tiharosh HaMizbeach. Please come back tomorrow. We're going to get to discuss what exactly that means. And then afterwards, the Mishnah goes on to describe that the blood is taken out of the Echal and poured onto the Yisod of the Mizbeach. Not in the exact same location that your standard Chatas is going to be poured, where the Shirayim of the standard Chatas is going to be poured, but rather on the southern side, not the western side. On the western side, not the southern side, in contrast to a standard Chatas where it's on the southern side, not the western side. Again, that also is going to be discussed in more detail. And finally, our last thing that we discussed in the course of today's daf. And then the blood comes out. It goes down and hits a canal in the Azara, flows out to the Kidron Valley. Farmers are going to use that blood, but they have to pay before they use that blood, even though it's not mi'ila mida araisa. But nevertheless, the Chachamim want people not to get into the habit of using the leftover material of the avoda. And finally, our last thing that we discussed in detail this morning was going to be if you subscribe to the Kohen Gadol going around the Mizbeach, is he going clockwise or counterclockwise? That was a machlokes between Rav Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that he goes clockwise. Rav Yosi Aglili says he goes counterclockwise. And the Gemara is now trying to wrap its head, pun intended, trying to wrap its head around the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Why are you going clockwise? Why are you not going counterclockwise? And obviously, we'll continue tomorrow.